Hello, everyone. So I'm Logan. I'm a senior at Pathways Charter School, which very few people know about. Some people do. They're cool. Yeah, thank you, Jeff. And I'm graduating this week, which is pretty cool. I've been going to this church for, I think, about 8 years, give or take a year. And this church, and especially the youth ministry with Ben and Shelley, have been such a key part in growing my faith and on my journey. And I want to share a verse that's very dear to my heart. It's John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, I have this verse on my phone. I see it like every time I open it, next to all the apps that give me trouble, because who doesn't love irony? And I really love this verse because it just kind of embodies what my mindset has been and how I go about life. And just, life isn't easy, life sucks, it's a bunch of suffering. But I think that God empowers us to take peace in it because he has overcome the world. And like, I haven't grown and gained this mindset all on my own. It's, all of it has been because Jesus shows his peace and love to all of us, and he has given that gift to us. And now Jesus is, when we talk about Jesus, he's the perfect person. He's the ideal person. He shows love and compassion and perfect forgiveness to everyone. And he's perfect. And that's impossible. We can't achieve that. And we're expected to try to. And it seems impossible. It seems bleak. It seems hopeless. But I actually think that there's hope and peace in the fact that, He's perfect. We were created not to be perfect. We are not expected to be perfect. We can make mistakes and still be along that journey of trying to be perfect. And I think it's cool. Just, we can make mistakes and it's okay. Now, I used to be really, really reserved, just in the back. You'd struggle to get a whole sentence out of me unless you brought up something really nerdy. That's another story. But I just in the back, didn't talk to anyone, and that's how I was. And over these past couple years, I've really grown into myself. I've become more real, a more real version of myself, more outgoing, more willing to speak my mind and heart. And I never used to do that. I used to just kind of go along with whatever, and something that's really been a struggle for me, especially because of that, is forgiveness. Forgiveness was hard for me because I just kind of ignored it and just let it be or whatever. Don't care. Don't need to talk to him, whatever. And that's harmful to me and to other people. It harms my ability to love others, and it just harms me. And there's a quote that I got from my mom. I love this quote. Not forgiving is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. And it's really harsh. It's a brutal quote. But it's pretty true. If forgiveness is such a core part of loving others and what it means to be a Christian, and it's hard. It's really hard. There have been people in my life that have seemed impossible to forgive, but through Jesus, through his overcoming of the world, he has allowed me to forgive those people. Now, I'm going to do something here. I said I'm a more real person, so I have this script. I'm just going to throw it out and speak from my heart for a second. I'm just going to... No more script. This is all me. I'm not reading it off of paper or anything. I want to challenge everyone in this room, everyone out there, anyone hearing this message right now, to forgive others to the best of their ability and try and improve that ability every single day, even if it seems bleak, even if it seems impossible, because that progress, even if it's inch by inch, is such a powerful journey that Jesus shapes us through. And I think that's cool. So I want to invite Hannah Chamberlain up, and she's going to give another amazing message.
Hello, I'm Hannah Chamberlain, and next week I'm graduating from Standard Falls High School, and in the fall I'm going to Colorado State University in Fort Collins. This morning, I want to ask you this question. What are you finding your value in? Each one of us wants to be valued, to be known, to be loved, and people find this in many different things. Money, status, relationships, sports, jobs, grades, personal image, success. But for me, I've experienced this in two ways in particular. I played sports all throughout high school, and no matter if I was the star of the field or the star of the bench, God worked with me on finding value in him, not my performance. Nothing I could do in a sport could ever earn his unfathomable love and constant value, the same as no failure I could ever have could diminish it. So I tried to find my worth in him. And it's not just for sports, it's the same in other contexts. It's the same for jobs, parenthood, relationships. It's so easy to find our value in these worldly things if we aren't intentional about finding our worth in Jesus. The one that's harder for me is to not find my value in what other people think of me. I'm a people person and realize that I deeply care what other people think of me. And to be honest, this is something I'm still working on not putting above God, because at the end of the day, this will fail me. I'm a human who makes mistakes daily, and if my identity is found in my image, when I make these mistakes and it changes this image, I will see myself as less valuable. But this could all be different if I found my whole value in God, and this is something that I still need to work on. There are so many things that we humans find our value in, and these things, they become our idols. I think that what we find our worth in is what we end up worshiping. Whether it's money, power, image, or something else, it can be put above God and worshiped. In the Gospels, Jesus talks several times about putting riches above God. One of these stories is found in Matthew 19, 16 through 24, which is the story of the rich young ruler. It says, "Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?' 'Why do you ask me about what is good?' Jesus replied. 'There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments.' 'Which ones?' he inquired. Jesus replied, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself.' 'All these I have kept,' the young man said. 'What do I still lack?' Jesus answered, 'If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me.' When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. When Jesus said this to his disciples, 'Truly, I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God.' The rich young ruler, without even knowing it, had started to worship the wealth he possessed. He worshiped what he found his worth in, and Jesus was kind enough to reveal this to him. This didn't just happen in Bible times. There are idols of riches and power still around today. And this and other worldly things can fail us because of the fact that we are in a broken world. A world where we can make one mistake and ruin our image, we can lose our money, we can experience a breakup. These things are part of our changing world, and if we find value in something worldly, what happens when it inevitably fails us? Even if nothing as dramatic as this happens, there's still a longing in our hearts which can never possibly be fulfilled by anything but God. He is that unchanging rock in our lives and the only thing that can fulfill us fully. If we find our whole value in him, we will never be lacking in value. At winter camp, we talked about Ecclesiastes, where King Solomon writes about all he's had in this world. He talks about his houses, his vineyards, his silver, his gold, his 700 wives. And yeah, he had everything this world that anyone could ever want. He even says in Ecclesiastes 2:10, "I denied myself nothing. I refused my heart no pleasure." Solomon had everything he could have ever wanted, yet at the beginning of the book, he tells us, "I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind." For Solomon, fulfillment was like the wind, unattainable. Nothing fulfilled him and nothing was eternal but God. Anything that isn't God but that is put above him can never fulfill us. And sometimes we don't even realize we're putting these things above God. It takes reflecting and prayer and time, and I want to encourage us to evaluate where our value is right now. So I want to leave you with these final questions. What are you finding your value in? Who or what are you worshiping? And have you accidentally slipped into worshiping someone or something other than Jesus? And if you're not finding your soul value in God, don't be ashamed. It's hard to put our value in God when the world tells us to put it in so many other things. Despite what the world says, they want us to put our value into what college we get into, how pretty we are, what our financial situation is, but the only place we can find our eternal value is in God. Psalm 139, 13 through 14 says, "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Even before we were born, we had eternal value woven into us by the creator of the universe. If God knows us fully, has created us with this value, and could never possibly fail us, then what thing could we put our value in this world that could ever compare to him? I would like to now invite up our next speaker, Grayson McElreath.
Hi, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Grayson McElreath. I'm a part of the graduating class of 2024 and a current senior at Redwood High School. I graduate on the 13th, and then I'll finally be free. And I'll be going to Westmont College of California in Santa Barbara in the fall. I've spent all my life surrounded by the church, and I've been coming to MCC for really as long as I can remember. This church and the body of Christ here has always felt so loving and so welcoming, which is made especially powerful because I feel we live in a place that is oftentimes the opposite. Throughout my time here at MCC, I've really felt and come to know Jesus' love through the amazing people I've been surrounded by. I know Jesus now to be loving, welcoming, and most of all, full of grace. And just a warning for everyone, there's about to be the word love a lot. 1 John 4:7 through 12 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Between my parents, friends from youth group, as well as pastors and just everyday churchgoers, I've had people always show me what it means to live this passage and what it means to be a follower of Christ. I feel like when someone hears the words, giving your whole life to Jesus, I'd assume what pops into their head is this picture of a missionary in a distant country. And while this can be the case, it isn't always. Devoting our whole life to Jesus doesn't look the same for each and every person, because everyone has a different path and everyone has a different role to play in the building of the kingdom of God. But whatever the journey looks like, regardless of which part of the world it takes place in, one thing I firmly believe holds true for all those who give their lives fully to Jesus Christ is that they exude God's love, an unconditional love that is both never failing and never ceasing. God's love is there for you in your darkest moment, of which I've had many, and it's also there for you in your brightest day. God's love will never fail to see you through as long as you lean into him. That is the kind of love I have felt in my life within this community of believers. Christ lives within us, so our duty as believers is to love others the way Jesus does, to show others how vast his love is for them. And importantly, we don't get to pick who we show God's love to. God loves unconditionally, and thus we are called to as well. Which means we have to love the people we don't get along with, the people who don't believe in Jesus, the people who think we're crazy or call us names. We have to show love even when it's hard, even when our love isn't reciprocated. There are many ways in which we can devote our lives to Christ, but there's only one way in which we can lead others to Christ, and that is through love. So my encouragement to everyone here today, but most importantly to my fellow seniors, is to love the way Jesus loves. Like the writer of 1 John says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. I've experienced this my entire life here at MCC, and I pray that this church continues to be marked by love. And I, for one, am really, really excited to get the start to the next chapter of my life and lean into that same love. Before we close out our speaking, I would like to invite the band back up, and I would also love to pray over this time. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this day, a day to celebrate and to look back over how you have touched our lives, the ways you've made us and shaped us into the people that we are becoming. Thank you for giving us this day to look forward with excitement and anticipation at what's to come next. And I just pray that no matter what we do, we go out into the world and we exude your reckless love. Amen.